which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Succoth and Azekah and Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the other side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat of mail was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target or javelin upon his between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spearhead's weight was 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out, set in your battle array? Am I not a Philistine, or a single Philistine? And ye servants of Saul, choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, and they were dismayed and greatly afraid. I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning on the subject, when the battle line is drawn. As Christians, we face a lot of battles. Am I right? We face battles pretty much on a daily basis. We're dealing with something that the devil throws in our pathway, and we're always seemingly in battle with the enemy. Sometimes the battles we face are subtle in the beginning, and we may be able to kind of plan a strategy for those battles, and we can handle those battles pretty well. Sometimes they just hit without warning. We don't expect them. We don't know what the battle is going to contain. We don't know how severe it's going to be. And before you know it, we're entangled in a battle like we've never known before. And a lot of times that's very disturbing. And then there are the times of battle that I want to talk to you a little bit about this morning. They start out to be a battle that we think we're prepared for, and then all of a sudden, things change. The scenario goes just what might be called crazy. And we are totally out of left field when it comes to that kind of battle. We don't know what to do. The unexpected turns of events that can completely overwhelm us when battling the enemy can be explained. Paul said in Ephesians, he said, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And this pretty well explains why we have so much trouble. It's because it's all done on the spiritual level. The battle is not physical. If we had to fight a physical enemy that we could see, that we could know when we're, you know, it's hard to miss a target if you can see that target. But sometimes we don't see the spiritual things that are going on in the background that cause us so much trouble. Even though our battles can usually be described as spiritual as Christians, if we're a Christian, you know, we always realize that our battles are spiritual. Am I right? When the enemy is coming against us, we know that it's a spiritual battle. But a great deal of the time, if not most of the time, those battles begin as physical manifestations. We see them, and to give you an example, if someone is terminally ill, that is a physical situation. But if we're not careful, we will allow that physical situation to dissuade our faith. And that physical thing is actually pushing us towards that spiritual battle. Right. For the child of God, the battles are far more than physical. They go deeper than the physical. They go totally into the spirit realm. The devil knows that often the only way he can defeat us is by applying enough pressure on us through the physical,
right,
that we overlook the fact that the battle is actually spiritual. We don't see it as a spiritual battle. We see it as a physical thing. Spiritual, and now here's the key, spiritual battles take place where?
Let's get it right.
Right here. The spiritual battles they're not physical at all, but they're right here. And the devil knows that if he can get into our minds and into our heads, he's going to have an upper hand. That is the reason Paul said, be not conformed to this world. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye what?
Transformed.
Transformed by
the renewing.
The renewing of your mind. What is the difference? You know, I've never heard this explained, you know, fully. What's the difference between being conformed and transformed? I'm here to show you. I guess you don't know. And this is a candle. It has many sides. One, two, I guess it's eight. It has eight sides. It's shaped like a stop sign if you look at it in this direction. Smells good too. This candle is conformed. It's conformed into the shape of the mold that it was poured into. The wax was melted, and it was poured into a mold, and once it was cooled, the mold was removed, and out came a candle. And these are mass-produced. All they have to do is just keep pouring the wax in. They keep pulling the candles out. Pouring the wax in, pulling the candles out. And that's what the devil wants to do to each one of us. He wants us to be melted down and poured into his mold to be what he wants us to be. transformation on the other end. I found this after the tree company got through cutting down all the trees around the house up where I live. And when I found it, it was kind of neat looking. It had a vine growing all the way around it. And I thought, you know, that would make a great walking stick. So I cut that out and I peeled all the bark off of it. I started doing some little wood burnings in the stick. I cut the vine out. I transformed this from just a stick of wood that was laid on the ground into a fairly decent little walking stick. And you know how I did it? Did it with my hands. The difference between being conformed and being transformed is that God lays his hand on us.
Hallelujah.
And makes us what he wants us to be.
Yes. Hallelujah.
We're not in a cookie cutter form. But he makes each one of us special. He makes each one of us in a certain way. He puts his stamp upon us. That's the difference in being conformed and transformed. But the transformation that we take on in this situation is done by the renewing of our mind. And to renew something means that you make it over, you make it new. How many of you have a driver's license? Got 2 dates on it. Anybody know what those dates are? Your birth date and your expiration date. After so long of having that driver's license, you can expect to get a notice in the mail from the DMV. And it's going to tell you that it's time to get your driver's license renewed. What happens if you don't? Can you still drive? Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Shouldn't.
Not as possible. Can. You see, if I don't renew my mind, I'm going to keep operating. Everything is still going to work. It's just going to work badly. If I drive with an expired driver's license, I'm still going to be driving. But I'm running the risk. I'm running the risk of having to pay all sorts of fines, possibly be arrested. If I operate without the daily renewing of my mind, I'm running a risk. Because if I don't renew my mind daily, the devil has an inroad in there. He can begin to whisper and to speak things into my mind.
Right.
Into that battlefield. You see, that battlefield is always going on in here. And if you allow that time frame to go by without renewing your mind, I recommend doing it on a daily basis. Get the Word on a daily basis. I'm a strong proponent of reading the Word and getting into the Word every day. Because that is where we will win the battle.
Right.
That's where we will win the battle of the mind. In the verses that I read to you at the beginning, Israel had a strategy or a strategic plan for battle. In their minds, they were prepared. The Bible said they went out. They gathered on one mountain. The Philistines gathered on the other mountain. They knew that we've done this before. We've done this before. And sometimes we as church members get into that pattern. Well, we've done this before. We're good. We're old hands at it. Israel had done it before. They were ready for battle. They gathered all of their battle equipment. They were standing there waiting. When all of a sudden, something totally out of the ordinary happened. They saw someone step out from among the soldiers on the other side. And this guy was huge. When he stepped out to the battle line, all they saw was a monster. I was going to use Tim Records this morning. I was telling Lisa, I said, you know, Tim is only the second man that I've ever known that can stand in a standard 80-inch doorway and scratch the top of his head with the doorway. He's the only second man I've ever known that can do that. He's pretty good size. I'm a big guy. But when I stand beside him, I feel like a little guy. But Goliath, now Tim is 6'8", did you say? He's 6'8". That's pretty tall. I'm 6', so that makes him 8 inches taller than me.
Wow, I didn't know he was that tall.
Goliath was 9 feet and 6 inches tall. It's almost 10 feet tall. That's big. Quite big. The Bible said that the armor that he carried, his breastplate and his coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. Just carrying it wrapped around 125 pounds. A couple of years ago, I was doing some work around the house, and I had to go get some Sapcrete. I had a choice. I could get an 80-pound bag or a 60-pound bag or two 40-pound bags. Well, I'm not about to get an 80-pound bag. So I got the two 40-pound bags. I thought this would be good because I can grab one up and I can carry it over, and I grab the other up and I can carry it over. But when I got home, Mr. Macho decided, hey, I'm going to grab both of those things. So I grabbed one on one shoulder and one on the other. Now, 80 pounds over a distance of 40 or 50 feet, I could do it maybe 5-6 feet. But I carried those things for, I guess, 40 or 50 feet. And when I got through carrying those from point A to point B, I was done for the day. That was it. I said, I will approach this on another day. Goliath had armor that weighed 125 pounds that he was just carrying. The Bible said that Saul and his army, when they saw him step out, all their battle plans that they had so strategically designed in their minds went out the window. And sometimes when the devil comes at you with something like that, it'll cause your mind just to go totally blank. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And the Bible said that I figured this out. He was very large. He was very loud. He was very defiant. He was very threatening. He was very taunting. And you add all those things up, and it was a very scary thing. And not only that, In verse 11, or not verse 11, I'll just tell you. He was there for 40 days and 40 nights. Or 40 days, morning and evening. He would do this. He would step out on the battlefield. Israel was terrified. They were completely terrified because of what was going on. And then one day, a little shepherd boy came on the scene. When he came on the scene, things changed. When the Holy Spirit gets involved, it doesn't matter what kind of mind games the devil's played.
Right.
God will turn the tables on him.
Right.
Here is Goliath for 40 days. He had put fear into the hearts of the army of Israel. But now that he thinks the battle has all but been won, David shows up, hears what he's saying, and David gets stirred up.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He wasn't listening to the mess that he was shoveling. He was listening to what God had spoken to his heart on many times before. And when he heard Goliath defying the army of God, not only that, he was bringing a reproach upon Israel. David couldn't stand for it. He got stirred up. And it's time that we started to get stirred up, folks.
Right.
We need some stirring. We need the stirring of the Holy Spirit in our services. We need that moving of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
When we start to get stirred up, we're going to see battles begin to be won.
Yes.
We're going to see some of these things that have plagued us for so long. If you ever had a battle that just seemed like it went on and on and on forever,
yep.
It just seemed like you couldn't find a solution for that battle. It seemed like every day you're faced with the same thing. You're faced with that same mind game that's going on in the back of your mind. The way to get the victory over that, allow the Spirit of God in. Allow the Spirit of God to move in your mind and to renew your mind. And you'll begin to see the battle transform you from someone who is cowering in fear to someone who is victorious over their battle. Does that mean we're going to have good results on everything that we do? No. No, it doesn't mean that everything we do is going to be good results, but I can guarantee you this. Whenever you allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life and move in your mind, you will begin to see things differently. You will begin to see the victory. When David went before Saul, Saul had called for him and told him, he said, let me give you this armor. If you're going to go fight Goliath, you're going to need armor. So he put the armor on David. And here's David walking around with the little boy. He got all this heavy stuff on him. And he's looking at it and he's thinking, man, what am I going to do with this? I can't do anything with this. I don't even know what this thing's for. What is this? It's a sword. I don't know how to use a sword. Got a shield here. I don't know how to use that. Got this heavy armor. It's weighing me down. I don't know what to do with it. So he goes back to Saul and says, here, I can't use this. I know how to use this. He pulls out his little leather strap sling. And he told Saul, you know, I killed a bear. I killed a lion. Whenever the Lord moved upon me, I was able to do that, so this giant's not going to be any different. The Bible said that he went to the brook and he picked up 5 smooth stones. Somebody said, why did he pick up 5 smooth stones? He only needed one. And I studied and researched that. Man, I worried about that. Why did he pick up 5? And it finally dawned on me. His shepherd's bag was empty. He just filled his bag up. Because whenever he got out there and he got ready to reach for that stone, he didn't have to fumble around there, where's the stone I picked up? He was able just to reach down in there and grab one. And that's what we need to do. We need to be prepared, folks. We need to be able to just reach down and grab one. We don't need to have to stumble around and dig around. And you got to be able to just reach down and grab it.
Hallelujah.
And he took the stone and he put it in his sling. You know the thing that's really great about this? It just jumped out at me. David, the Bible said that whenever he had confronted Goliath, and he had Goliath just beside himself, because here I am a big man, and you're sending a little boy out to fight with me, had him just all tore up. David, the Bible said, picked up his pace. He didn't run away from Goliath like the other soldiers had done, big men. The Bible said he ran towards Goliath.
Hallelujah.
He ran towards the enemy.
Hallelujah.
And he began to sling the stone as he was running. And he released that stone. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. At this point, it didn't matter. It didn't matter. David could have turned the other way and slung that stone, and it would have still found the forehead of Goliath. When the Spirit of God is the whole of you, it doesn't matter what direction you're going. It doesn't matter what direction the stone goes. It's still going to make it hit its mark.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. David told Goliath, he said, I'm going to take you down. And this day, I'm going to take your head from you. David didn't know how to use a sword. I told you that a while ago. He was a shepherd boy. He didn't know anything about swords. But when Goliath fell, when Goliath hit the ground, he walked over.
Hallelujah.
I believe he climbed up on top of him.
Yeah.
I believe he just scampered right up on top of Goliath. I believe he reached down and picked that sword up. I did some studies on that too. The sword was solid bronze. It was solid bronze. And it weighed. There's a lot of speculation on how much it weighed. Depending on its length, it could have weighed up to 15 pounds. I've slung a 12-pound sledgehammer twice. That's it. I put it down. I believe that he picked that sword up and the Holy Spirit moved on. I don't believe he had to use 2 hands. I believe he just reached down and he picked it up and he come across and bam!
Hallelujah.
Off was the head of the giant that defied Israel.
Hallelujah.
Folks, we got to run towards the giant. We got to stop running from the giant and start running towards the giant. The battle line is over here. It's not back there. We can't go backwards, folks. We have come too far.
Yes, hallelujah.
We are too far into it for us to turn around and go the other way.
Right.
The devil can breathe down your collar. He can tell you how he's going to defeat you and how he has defeated you. We can't stop.
That's right.
got to keep going towards the giant. Numbers chapter 13, I believe it is. When the spies came back out of the promised land, and they were getting their reports, Joshua and Caleb were saying, you know, it's great. It's everything that we thought it would be. It's everything that we need. And we can have it. 10 of the spies said, no, no, no. It's got all that stuff. That's true. But it's also got a lot of giants over there. It's got giants in the land. There's no way. We're like grasshoppers. We're just like grasshoppers. And we can't defeat them. There's no way we can defeat them. Joshua and Caleb, you know what they said? He said, yes, we can. Yes, we can. Let's go now. Let's go put it off. Let's go. Let's hurry. Let's hurry and go there now because we can take it. You see, anytime you're facing a giant in your life, according to the scripture, you run towards that giant.
Hallelujah.
You don't back up from the giant. You run towards it. You move forward. And church, that's what I want us to do this morning. I want us to move forward. Go in the forward direction.
Yes.
Build our momentum. Build the momentum of our church and of our lives. Move forward.
Yes.
There may be some here this morning that have had battles this week. They have been going on for a lot longer than a week. You may be facing battles right now. They may be manifesting themselves as physical battles. Any number of things could be sickness. Be financial. Now, financial battles can really be a bad thing, and the devil will use that to get into your mind. He'll tell you that you're going under. He'll tell you that there's no way you're going to be able to pull out. Folks, don't let the devil whisper. Don't let him whisper defeat into your mind and into your heart.
Right.
If you're here this morning and you are battling, I don't know what the battle is. I don't know. I don't know why God gave you this message. Well, I do. I do. I know why I gave you the message. I hope he's giving you that message for a reason. If you're going through a battle this morning, you can have victory right here and right now.
Right.
You can face that giant. You can bring that giant down. All it takes is moving forward. Move towards the battle line.
Yes.
Don't run from the battle line. Stand. When you put on the whole armor of God, Paul said to stand when you've done all. To stand. Stand, therefore. Stand. Don't go back. Go forward. Everybody stand.